March the 18th, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is El-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Quran taught and made man. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1 to 4, Allah taught the Quran. Genesis 2, 5 to 7, man formed of the ground. Genesis 5, 2, he called them Adam. Where was his body? I can understand if he didn't have a body, no woman was going to be there. So then he called the rain to come down from the heaven and wet the earth. And after the earth was wet, it must have been dry and dusty. It must have been too loose to hold together. So when the rain came down and wet it, then he formed the man. And after he formed the man, he formed the woman of the rib of the man, right? So that is Genesis. And God says of his creation that he made, I'm not giving this to you to hold on to this as guide. This is research. The guidance, the book that we have with you, or the book that you have with you, the Quran, although there is guidance in the Bible too, but that is not for us to hold up as guidance. We hold up the Quran up as guidance. So God says he made Adam, that he made him, and God says that he made them. So this is the second report on the creation. He made him and he called them, not one person, and called them Adam in the day that he created them. So this is Genesis. So Genesis is clearly telling us Adam is not the creation of one person, that Adam is a prototype in all the people that God made originally, had the same nature, the same human design or composition. They are the original human type. So we are the best evolved for humanity. You are the best community evolved for man. Then Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, comes after Jesus Christ, pointing to the same truth that the Christian mystified too much to understand. Here comes Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, with plain, clear language, and he says, you are the best community. Did you hear it, brothers? I said, you are. I know it says kuntum, but I think I know Arabic better than you. For the Quran, you can say kuntum. It means yesterday, today, and always. So you were in Adam before now, and you are in yourself now. And in the future, you will be that. So this is timeless. This is a timeless creation, a timeless reality. It was in the beginning, it is now, and it will be in the future as it was in the beginning. No change comes over it. It is timeless. So God just as God got him, as God produced the first one in that type, he produces the second one anytime he pleases. So he created Adam and he created Jesus. And he created Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He created Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Yes, he did. The Quran says, Ar-Rahmanu Alima Quran Kalika Insan. Ar-Rahmanu Alima Quran Kalika Insan. Translated, the beneficent, merciful God, he taught the Quran to who? To Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Kalika Insan. Translated, he created the human person. Who? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, created him anew with a powerful intellect, powerful compassion, powerful quality of character. He infused the word of God in there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, now when I have inspired him of myself or my own spirit, bow down, make sajda to him. So the angels didn't bow to Adam when he was just a human. But when God put his own spirit into Adam, the angels bowed down to him. The spirit comes with the word. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the word from himself into Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the angels made sajda to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 30, I am making a khalifa in the earth. Now let us put it in our language. What is this ummah? What is special about this ummah that God says he evolved? It is not ummah that is instantly made in a factory someplace or on somebody's desk doing research or something. No. This is the best community, evolved. It has been coming forth for thousands of years, for more than thousands of years, for thousands of generations. It has been coming forth, even when the man was nothing but a sperm, before life was even a sperm. But the presence of life was in the earth. It was not a sperm yet. This community was coming, evolving, of nature and nature properties given by the God who made nature. It is evolving. It evolved during the time of the first generation, during the time of the first man who tried to stand up erect and tried to be human and tried to make his family to be human and wanted his neighbors to be human by each other. Way back there, millions of years ago, it was evolving. And now God has revealed it to you. So you can take the responsibility in your own hands and establish this nation, this community life that is inherent, that is evolving with human life over a long period of time. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, I am making, not let us make man. Khalifa refers to the individual. Pardon me, Khalif refers to the individual. Khalifa refers to government rulership. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is making a khalifa, he said to the angels in me, surely I am making. He did not say, let us make man. No. In the Quran, that is in the Bible. He said in Quranic Arabic, inni ja'alun fil'adi khalifatin. Inni ja'alun fil'adi khalifatin. Translated, surely I am making or forming upon the earth a khalifa. So this is not an individual person. It is a social order that will be trusted to humans, intelligence, and human decency. So when God said that he said that to the angels were frightened, they said, what will you create other than something that will cause bloodshed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know what you know not. God is the best knower. I know my creation better than you know it. certainly these human beings, they have limits. They have human limitations and human defects. But my word is going to attract the best of them because my word appeals to the best that's in my creation. And it is going to draw out of the best that is in them. Satan feared God tells man to disbelieve. Iblis was a jinn. Jinn and man created to worship Allah. So Satan seemed that he understood that if the angels didn't, and he said, none will be spared but your special one that you choose, meaning I'm going to get the masses of them, the majority of them, I'm going to mess them up. I'm going to bring out their weaknesses and show you that this was a mistake. So this is Satan talking to God, talking to his Lord. Someone might say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the Lord of Satan. Wasn't Satan a jinn before he rebelled? And aren't the jinn a creation of God? And don't the jinn say to God, my Lord? I speak to you this way because I have been challenged by some of you. You won't do it until there are no witnesses around. You make sure there's no witnesses around, but you because you don't want to ever have to answer to the believers. So you wait until nobody is around. You have me all by myself. And then you start challenging what I say, what I teach, and try to show me that you know more or better. I put myself on the same level with you. You can challenge me at any time in the open. You don't have to wait until you get me in secrecy. I'm ready to be forced to face my shortcomings before all of the people. I'd rather be corrected than to keep going wrong. Don't worry about the security. I will tell them I invited the brother to do this. So the Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1 to 4. Allah taught the Quran. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 16, Prophet lived a lifetime amongst you. 40 Hadith, page 64, 17. Excellent in everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us his own words. The Quran through Muhammad the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the chapters in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu alima Quran kalika insan. Ar-Rahmanu alima Quran kalika insan. Translated, the merciful God, the beneficent, he taught the Quran to Muhammad. So there is the first creation, and then there is the second creation. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had already lived a perfect and excellent human life. And he was 40 years old. And his people had witnessed that his life had been such. And God chose him and made him a messenger, or a messenger to all the world. Rahmata illami. A mercy to all the worlds. So nature, the first creation, Muhammad kept perfect. So here is the first creation that had been kept intact, had not been broken or corrupted. Muhammad had lived that first creation for 40 years, and then he sought God for help. And God responded to his call for help, and he became God's messenger. And then God began to give him Quran. And the Quran created another environment for him, a word environment, a spiritual and word environment was created for Muhammad, the prophet. Prayers and the peace be upon him. And God taught him with the revelation, the Quran, and he became a new creation, and he illuminated the whole world. And he is still illuminating the world now. So that is the leader of the Ummah. Thank God for him. That is the leader of our Ummah, Muhammad the Prophet. So you were brought out of for humanity. that says that the Ummah, you are, or pardon me, you were, but it means you are. At the same time, it means you are. But the Kuntum is revelatory. It is revealing something. And the Ukharijat is a connection that we should make. So that he had to bring us out. We were in our existence. We were in matter existing as seeds, needing the right environment, the right support for it to manifest or to materialize. And we got that with the Quran and Muhammad's teaching. With his example, we got that. And we materialized. We manifested. We materialized as the best community on this planet Earth. And where is that community now? It is in serious trouble. It is in bad shape. God subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he created everything and that he inscribed upon everything excellence. So if we are students of science, and I am a student of science all of my life, I have been a student of science in my former school situation. I was a student of science all of my life, and I am a student of science. So this creation is the work of Allah, is the work of God, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I love God, and I love to know his work so that I can know more about him. Science tells us that everything evolved from a more simple condition or a more simple composition. And like the germ of the human being that is also given in the Quran, in a different way, the germ of the human being comes as something that you could hardly see. You can't see it with your eyes. You can only see it as a milky substance or something. But with a microscope, you can see the living germ. You can actually see the living germ, and it does not look like a human being. It is looking like a little worm or something. It is not looking like a human being. But look what happens in time, in the right environment. It becomes a man. It becomes a woman. So you are crawling everything inside yourself. Years ago, when you were a baby, you were a little bitty thing, physically, materially, flesh-wise. So you were crawling on your hands and knees like an animal. And you grew up with the right environment of the members of the human race. You grew up, you stood up, and you joined the adults, walking on 2 feet and doing marvelous things with your brain and your heart and et cetera. So this is process. This is evolving. The Quran, Surah 56, Ayah 10, foremost indeed. And the will of God is not for me to separate from the world. The will of God for me is to engage the world and to prove myself worthy by taking up my matter and taking the matter to the destination. So I'm not only talking about this physical, biological body, but my responsibility in the world. So I must take up my full responsibility in this material world and take it up like I take up this body in the morning to take it to a job or take it to rescue a friend of mine. Pick up and take it up your whole responsibility in the world and take it to where Allah wants it to go. That's why we are here. That's a test. If we do that, we will be very successful. We will be the leading one foremost in the path of God. Yes. The Quran, Surah 56, Ayat 18 to 19. Wine, no after headache. John 2:7-9, Jesus turned water to wine. So he made us to understand that Jesus did not turn drinking water into drinking wine. That is not the water that you run out of your faucet at home. The revealed truth of God is called water in Scripture because it is only God that can lift truth up from its corrupted form. As water is lifted up from the earth by the sun and bring it up from the corruption and the disease and descend back down again to the earth for our drinking pure. So the book called the Word of Scripture water. And Jesus was a blessed and righteous prophet, a righteous and a blessed servant of God who was blessed with the knowledge of interpretation. Divine and spiritual wine was the Word with the power to affect the heart and affect the mind and make those deeds, spirit Jews jump up, clap their hands, stomp their feet, and say hallelujah and amen to the word Jesus. So the Quran, Surah 56, Ayat 18 to 19, drink no headache. John 2:7-9, turn water into wine. So water, and he turned the water to wine, right? Symbolic of the social urge in the spiritual body to find the truth. The wine, you see, blood is water. Then what happens? What happens after this trip on the part of Peter and the church? They didn't go back to water. Jesus had to transform the water into wine. So this is not the heavy wine. This is the wine of Quran that leaves no hangover. Say, and they so drink of the intoxicating drink. That's not wine and leave no hangover. It doesn't disturb. It's rest. And it doesn't leave any hangover. So that's easy to drink. Vinegar spoil wine. So now, instead of taking them back to wine, he took them back to water, pardon me. For wine, they went back further in water. So when the wine is spoiled, you don't get water, you get vinegar. You get vinegar. Vinegar mummifies life. So now vinegar is for mummifying life back to Oasis, back to his death, right? Mummifying life, okay. So the vinegar is for mummifying life. It's for making life appear to be alive while it's dead. It's a substance that preserves the living appearance while the thing is dead. So they crucified Jesus right on the cross. Praise be to Allah, and I hope you do too. You remember the story of the tablets and were passed out, right? So they crucified Jesus in the ninth hour, and in the 11th hour he died. Now the 11th hour is the hour of Christian church, Christians, and in the 11th hour he died. What killed him? Vinegar. They put the vinegar in though his nose right away. He gave up. And he died. What is vinegar? In the Latin language, it is acetate. Acetate. So man, God, I kill the spirit. He gives up the spirit. So that's what killed him, the spirit. He gave up the spirit of the obedience to God, as God intended for man to behave. So he gave us this spirit, seeking to connect man with God. If I could go back to my origin, if I could count on the backward half of ontology, I would find myself, and when I find myself, I would find God. Mysticism, Catholicism, the belief that the priest has of Jesus, because they say in the beginning he was. Now, if they trace him back to the beginning, he was God, eternal God, one God, true God. But now he's put in a world, and he has this trouble again to find himself, to find his reality. When he finds his reality, he's God again. Now, if you don't believe me, dear people, sorry for you. The point is God for Catholicism. The point is Almighty God, hope material God on earth. They don't believe there's no other God. They don't believe there is no spirit God. They don't believe no God. The point is God for them. Pardon me. The point is God for them. And that's why the world of materialism tolerates the Pope. The Quran, Surah 56, Ayat 18 to 19. Drink no headache. Isaiah 63 and 3. Tread wine press alone. Matthew 26, 27 to 28. Wine, blood, New Testament. Bukhari, page 4, 647. Prophet, heaven, choose milk, not wine. So wine represents that which is giving you, give you good spirit. Tread means mash all the grapes out of the grapes. Pardon me. Tread means mash all the juice out of the grapes. That's how they used to make the wine. So this is not talking about real wine and juice of grapes. The passing goes back to what he said, the blood, what, and go back. So he said, according to the gospel, the wine is the blood, so wine too is the blood. So it means that gives you good spirit in the teaching of Jesus Christ. That gives you life, make you feel lively, make you feel good, like they feel in the church when they're hearing the preacher. That's what the wine is. So blood, wine, red. So it means the social life. So look at the color of the blood and the wine. They're similar, right? Red, so it means the social life, the spiritual life. If you just preach to people on the spiritual life, won't be giving them life. It's like water. Water helps our thirst, but it won't make us get excited and want to go out and take charge of our life and our problems in the world. Only social teachings on the social life makes us spirited, makes us want to go and do things, make us say, assalamu alaikum, brother. Hug your brother. Sister, assalamu alaikum. She hugs her sister. Because we are talking about the social life, our relationship with each other, our relationship in the home as a family, our relationship in this society as neighbors and friends and brothers and sisters. So this is what makes people feel good when you're talking on these things. That's the wine. That's the blood. That's the life. I will akhira behavior Muslim. So Quran Surah 57, Ayat 3, Allah is first, last, akwil akhira. Akwil for the behavior life. Akhira, intellectual life. Akwira Akbar, referring to here and the hereafter. And also to the growth process that we understand as the behavior and intellectual development of the creature. Behavior learning and the life operates to improve behavior. So I'm suggesting that these two terms are referring to here and the hereafter, and also to the growth process that we understand as the behavior in the intellectual development of the creature. So when we talk about behavior, we are talking about something that is determined by the nature, the physical life and its nature. When we talk about the intellect, we are talking about something that has come out of that and has gotten vision, has quoted on that, that enables it to conduct itself better. So here is learning and life now operating to improve behavior addresses a discipline, a condition, a state, attitude. Muslim behavior has its origin in the natural life. Not only does it have Muslim nature like it is expressly, the excellence of the nature, like because all of our behavior is tied to nature. Even that behavior that disobeys nature is tied to nature. It would not be possible without the nature. Muslim intellectual life is a continuation in the natural process. Al-Aqwira for the behavioral life and Al-Aqhira intellectual life. Not out of the natural process, continuation of the natural process. Muslim intellectual life. And I have associated this intellectual life now with Al-Aqhira and Al-Aqwira for the behavioral life, Al-Aqhira for the intellectual life. The Quran, Surah 108, Ayat 1, we have given you the abundant. John 10:10, I come so you have life more abundantly. Revelation 7:17, feed lamb in midst of the throne. So in the scripture it says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we think it means more power. It means more growth. You must bear fruit. Isn't that another saying of the book? I'm talking about the Western book. You must bear fruit. That is the condition. Another place says, feed my lamb. I come that you will have life and have it more abundantly. So what am I saying this for? I'm saying this to show you that the Quran and the Bible are saying the same essential thing. But one book has been twisted, altered. So on the surface, other ends contrary to what God intended. So as the Quran is the correct book, or the corrected book, pure and straight, upright, honest, just perfect, not deception in it at all. It is a book without deception. So fit, original, meant understanding. Intellectual means fit, is jurisprudence. Science by intellectual, we mean not the ordinary meaning, because when we say intellectual means smart, so we mean fit. So what is this word translating for fit? It's jurisprudence, law, but that is not the meaning that I'm referring to now. I am referring to the first meaning of this word. The scholars in Syria, or the law, that acknowledge that the meaning of fit today is not what it meant in the time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. It's now applied to the accumulation of legal discussion by the Jewish elect. So it refers to that, but originally, what did it mean? Understanding, correct understanding is fit. So the right understanding, and there is fit for everything in the Quran. So this is fit not only for the Quran, there is fit for the Sunnah, fit for everything. So what the mean? Movement of scripture. How do we know? Because the hunger in the people of scripture, from book to book, cover to cover, is a hunger for understanding. The word implies scientific reality, and it is a matter of historical report, of history, that this religion, as taught by Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, awakened the sciences and brought back higher learning to the dark world at that time and made possible the rejuvenation of the higher sciences that spread it from Arabia into Spain and other parts of the world at that time and was finally taken over, scientific inquiry, by the Western world. So many of the Western historian scholars, they point to the fact that the Renaissance of the West was sparked by raising of the Ummah community under Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon it. So Muslim first level identified as natural instinct behavior. So Muslim on the first level is identified in natural instinct behavior. In the natural field, non-biological, we see the law of physics operating matter, its property, nature, and her features. So the natural phenomenon is that Muslim, yes, according to our holy book, that itself is Muslim. So there is Muslim on that level. And in the biological world, I repeat, life is governed by instinct. Is that Muslim? Yes. Is there anything that is non-Muslim? Yes. Satan, the devil, he's non-Muslim. But everything that is in the order in nature God created, it's Muslim. So Muslim's second level identifies as moral conscience. Morals is just nature law expressed on a human level. On the second level, Muslim is identified in the tendency to establish moral preferences. Now here we have moved out of the purely physical, biological life, instinct now into human life. And we are talking about moral preferences, moral consciences. So this moral scene, it is no stranger to nature, the natural world. It is just an expression on a human level. So we come into a moral mind, a moral conscience, and we sense an urge, an urgency to establish what is right from what is wrong, to live by moral principles. So this urge that comes out of nature, in this have law progressing with the evolution of the matter. So the matter in its physical state, the matter in its biological state, the matter in its rational state or in its human form progresses. First level identified as natural law. Pardon me, Muslim first level identifies as natural law. Second identifies as instinct behavior. Third identifies as rational conscience. So this small life is natural, inherent, implicit in natural life of the human being, which is of the universal order of matter in life. So it makes me feel much more comfortable following a discipline in religion that I know has a real base in the universal scheme of reality. I do not know about the rest of the Muslim, but we feel much better. Now let us go back and look again at the word Muslim and see what level are we on. Are we Muslims in the first, the second sense, or in the third sense? On the first level, every inanimate thing is a Muslim. Now if you are on the second level, now, and you find yourself following intelligent patterns of behavior, but you're not doing it out of any respect for moral code. You have not the moral code. You are not the moralist. You're not even concerned with morals as such, but you just find yourself following intelligent patterns of behavior. And if someone asks you why you behave that way, you are thrown off your feet. And you'll tell them why then you perhaps are a Muslim on the second level. You are a Muslim like a bird, like the rat, the lion, the bear. You are insensitivity, a Muslim, but you are not yet a human. So there is no human on those first two levels. I don't mean to be funny up here, but some of our conditions are funny. And I think I'm seeing people while I'm talking. I have met people who are on these levels. Though we are born a Muslim, we are not yet a human. We don't just want to be Muslim. The identity for us, of us, is people, human beings. So we don't want the Muslim of the planet, the Muslim of the sun, the Muslim of the stones, the Muslim of a river, a snake, a bear, a rabbit, or a bird. We want the Muslim of a man. So that the third level, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the Muslim of the third level, Abraham's a Muslim, or the third level, God sent prophets or Muslims on the third level, and their followers are people of the third level. Now, some people have a sense of what is morally right and wrong, and they follow the spirit of truth or righteousness in accord with what they sense to be right. Is that right? They do not have to be brilliant. They do not have to be an Einstein. They do not have to be genius. They do not have to be intellectual. They are Muslims on the human level. But they are grades on the human level. Consciously Muslim because of moral motivation and perhaps law motivation only. But there is coming a time when the man becomes a Muslim because of intellectual motivation and moral motivation. And when he becomes a Muslim because of the intellectual and moral motivation, he is qualified to imam, qualified then to lead Muslims, to be Muslims the teacher. So natural law is a manifestation of the will of the Creator. Animal building tell man you can do accurate things. Do you understand this word now, Muslim? So this is a great honorable title. The previous scripture, the Bible says, the peacemaker shall be called by the children of the Most High God. What does that tell us? That the highest aim in creation is obedience to the will and the law of the Creator. And that obedience began with God said be, and it was. Worlds began to take shape in the void. And they came under natural law. Natural law is nothing but a manifestation of the will of the Creator. Then that natural law manifests itself in the living matter that comes out of the dead matter, the biological creature, in the sense of the instinct. He obeys instinctively. And look how rich he is in knowledge and on the straight of the instinct. So the walk can take the mud and make a beautiful artistic design. The bee takes its wax and make a beautiful, marvelous house with so much scientific wisdom in it, perfectly structured, air-conditioned inside. This is facts. This is science. You go to school to learn how to sew. The spider never went to school. Gets up and sews himself a web. You say, hell, how did he get it so accurate? Geometrically and accurate. You think man can tunnel? If you could take some kind of an X-ray machine and look at the earth and see how the ant has tunneled himself through the earth and how he has underground farms where he is farming under the ground. So this is an ant, and this is science. And we can go on talking about the marvelous world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised out of the dead matter on this instinct. So black, thick, and went to sleep. Now Europe is rigid. So this is an invitation to us that you can do accurate things. So you can make beautiful artistic works if you too will respect the will of God manifest in the lower of the matter that he created. Get the science that you made. Have life and have it more abundantly. Why does the white man get all the light? Why can't you get some of the light? If it's for every creature of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just for the white man. Your father used to have more than Europe had. And your father was tricked, and they went to sleep. And Europe got ahead of everything. And now Europe has been tricked and is going to sleep. So why don't you get up and catch up and outstrip them? Our goal is not to be a white man. Our goal is to be a Muslim man to outstrip all records that are established. Doesn't our Lord invite us to come into a race, into a moral competition to achieve all that is excellent and good? Original man, I want to be the second, third, and the final man. So the first and the last, some of us just want to be original, saying, oh, I just want to be the original man. I don't want to be the original man no longer. Then it takes me to look at him and see which direction God put him in. And once I see the direction God put him in, I don't want to be the original man. I want to be the second man, the third man, and the final man. I want to keep improving stage by stage, step by step. I want to get so that they say, he doesn't look original, he looks finished. Because the original is coarse and rough. And everything is seen original is coarse and rough. Society comes coarse and rough in the original state. But society grows into excellence that God intended for it. It becomes refined. I guess that's what good for us in the first, because we were anywhere in this content, nowhere in this firm of thought. So I guess the first was good for us in the first. So the Quran, Surah 58, Ayat 1. Woman who complained. I often say, look at an elephant, how big the body of an elephant is. And look at the size of his head now. Look at a donkey and look at the size of his head. A big head in comparison to the body, but the elephant has a small head in comparison to the body. So I wish Pastor Jeremiah Wright was hearing what I'm saying right now. The donkey can have 50 doctorate degrees. It doesn't make him any different. He's still a donkey because his head is too big in comparison to his body. Any of you ever heard of the big-headed scientist called Yaqub that's in the Nation of Islam's myths? Look at the human being's physical anatomy. Form looks how small our heads is in comparison to our bodies. So the more evolved life, the less attention you give your own intelligence. And the more attention you give the need that your intelligence was created to serve. And you have to make sure if you are going to make decisions that is going to affect the future of mankind on this planet Earth or of our neighborhoods, congregations, your decision to be made by Shura Benahum. You must meet with the best minds and characters. The more decent people must meet. Even females can be included, because we know the whole chapter is named The Woman Who Complained. If she is heard in the Quran, Holy Scripture, you know she is supposed to be heard in our Shura. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayah 7, if there is two, I am the third. So the whole world could say, we don't like you. I will continue to do my best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more company than the whole world. The whole world, they bore me. The whole world is like a big empty tomb. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not by my side, what do I need with graveyard company? I don't need graveyard company. My company is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when in the company of the faithful people who trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the kind of love, oh, it seems as though the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just multiplies. Oh, yes, the more company we get, that feels the same way. It seems that the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so heavy there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if there is two of you, I am the third. If there is three, I am the fourth. And if there is more, I am the next. How wonderful it is. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayah 7, no secret meetings of three, Allah is the fourth. Matthew 18:20, two or three, together I am there. So before him doesn't mean like you are before me. You are before God all the time. He is where you are all the time. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that if there is two of us, God is the third, and if any number above that, God is the next. So if there's a 5 billion or 5 billion, so people on this earth, God is with us. He is the next. Then add one more, because there is God with us. So God is out there, and God is right there. God is with us always, have been. So meeting God doesn't mean you're going to go somewhere, go to Mecca, to the Kaaba and meet God. He lives there. That's his residence. Let's get away from this childish kindergarten way of seeing God. The way to God is also the way of truth. Now understand that Al-Islam is a religion that revived interest in exact sciences and also the other sciences, psychology and all others. Al-Islam awakened the interest in that and made it possible for the world to come out of darkness and grow to where it has grown today, to be a world appreciating science and technology that would have not been possible if it not been for Quran. And Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, coming to bring the spiritual community back to their calling. Their first calling is a calling God gave Adam, and his calling was a big responsible for his own life and for the world around him. So group sets and dhikr, seeking God's guidance spirit. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayah 7, Allah is amongst the group. So you mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily when we are disconnected. That happens, too, when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God has connected all of us. So we are connected, though we see ourselves not connected. We are connected as light. But she is talking about that. She is talking about light. We are sitting here. There are spiritual orders or spiritual devotional societies that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as a main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this, meet together just for the purpose so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and the spirit of God and how to set and have patience, reflect on God's, reflect on his wonderful names, his purity, and reflect on his peace, to come more into his peace so that we become peaceful, that the thing that normally troubles us are not reaching us at that particular time. So you have separated yourself from all trouble, and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for what of the term, other term, that you would perhaps understand better, to be in God's peace and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water, ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayat 7, if you could speak on something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as divine revelation, but the world has turned us to listen to each other, could you speak on the ability of people to listen to other people in the spiritual realm? Imam W.D. Muhammad, you mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily. When we are disconnected, that happens too when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God had connected all of us. So we are connected though we see ourselves not connected. We are connected as life, but she is talking about like when we are sitting here. So there are spiritual orders or spiritual devotional societies that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as their main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this, meet together just for that purpose so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and the spirit of God and how to set and have patience, reflect on God, reflect on his wonderful names, his purity, and reflect on his peace, to come more into his peace so that we become peaceful, that the things that normally trouble us are not reaching us at that particular time. You have separated yourself from all trouble, and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for one of other terms that you would perhaps understand better, to be in God's peace and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water, ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. And while you are waiting patiently, you are doing this in the conjunction with other members in your inanimate or immediate environment and circumstances. And if you do that, God brings great relief to your soul and spirit. And sometimes God enriches your mind and understanding. So you should wait on God to manifest one of you his mercy and his blessings to that effect. So these spiritual orders believe that one person will speak, sometimes one will speak, and another will follow the different one will speak who are witnessing this. So they believe that when they speak, it is God they are hearing and not themselves. I said all that to point to people who have faith. First, we must have serious faith like those people who had practice that kind of spiritual obedience and silence, where they silence their own interest for the sake of the knowing God. So we have to have faith And we have to have patience, and we have to have that degree of seriousness to have what we need to listen to each other. The wisest of people, you can have a room full of PhDs, and they have trouble listening to each other. It is not a lot of knowledge that is needed to have us listen to each other. Others, it is just a certain condition of the spirit and the soul. We need to be able to listen to each other. So we put God first and foremost, and we realize that what we have to offer is absolutely nothing when it is seen in the light of what God has offered us. And we don't think of ourselves so important, then we can shut up our mouth for a while and listen to each other. The truth of real intelligence is that you will listen to others. That is the one of the greatest signs and greatest evidence of a person being intelligent. They will listen to others. Anybody who has to talk all the time is uncomfortable listening to another person, even though the person may be under you in knowledge or formal education. If you have no willing spirit to listen to them, your intellect is flawed badly. Sister, you have a listener. Here, I love to listen to others, and I encourage all of you to listen more than you talk. Listen a lot and talk a little. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. I thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. Tomorrow is our beloved brother Imam Musa Abui, the great-grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington. He's a scholar, an educator, and an author of books. We encourage you to listen to him. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.